Hallelujah. Would you all go to Luke 19? We're going to get in a little bit of Revelation tomorrow. I'm going to go tonight into Revelation chapter 7, but I want to preface this with Luke 19. I have a couple things I want to pull out in Luke 19. And while you're going there, Revelation chapter 7, one of the most mysterious groups, many sects and cults claim to be them, is 144,000. But in chapter 6, the sixth seal, the rapture of the church happens, and immediately after the falling of the opening of that seal, there's a massive global earthquake that sends the rich and powerful running to the caves in the hills, caves in which they probably built bunkers, caves in the hills. But you see, the rejection of our Lord and sinful works will realize the wrath of God. Apostle John is called up into heaven in the Spirit to record these events of the end of the corrupt, adulterous, antichrist world. The church is out of here, and the Holy Spirit's still here. And we're going to talk about, Pastor taught about 144,000. You can get the CD. We're going to mention some things about it. But I want to go to Luke 19. Mentioned this to Teresa at the beginning of the song service. Everybody there? And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. You heard the story. Which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. But he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. But he ran. He ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So he knew the Lord was going to pass by. He knew in his spirit. That's why he climbed that tree and went through the press. This could be his day of visitation. Read on. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. I requested that song for Bert to sing because our day of visitation, we should not be sleeping or be weary in well-doing. We should not be about the things of this world, but the things of the kingdom to come. So that our day will not pass by. In the beginning of this chapter, he talks about Zacchaeus. And he said this in verse 9, says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which is lost. I had someone today tell me that. And I was sharing some of this message with them. And they said, well, we believe that just because you are saved doesn't really mean you're going to heaven. I said, oh, is that right? I said, because John 10:10 says, if you speak with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou shalt be saved. And she says, well, that's true, but we believe that you have to live like it as well. I said, that's interesting. I said, because I'm not so sure that we do that when we are saved. It is like one telling another, because I'm doing this so I can stay on point with Revelation 7, because that was judgment coming. But you must know that Jesus approached Jerusalem. Jesus approached the Jews. Jesus approached these people to share his love. But they did not know the day was visitation. So she said that she believes, and this is her belief, she believes that because you are saved, you're not once saved or always saved. It's like dating, or your first date, or even your marriage, that during your marriage, you lose interest in your mate. or your first love, or your love. We're all guilty of this. And we got to wake ourselves up and say that, hey, this is what God has for me. This is my mate that God sent me. I'll rejoice and be glad. I will bless her, pray for her. I will rejoice over her and love her. And she do the same with me because God sent her to me and I to her. What I'm saying is I should never tire of her. I'm making the point that Israel tired of God, the Father, because Israel got everything. The Lord handed it to him. And we're going to go places in here, and I want to show you in Hosea how God was so heartbroken. If you've been in a relationship where one has cheated on you or left you or just flat out dropped you, your heart is broken, is it not? Your heart is really hurt. You can remember that instant. Well, when Israel left Jesus and turned their backs on him, his heart was broken. And I believe when the scripture said that he cried, I believe he actually cried of a broken heart. And in Luke 19, we're going to go almost verse 41. If you can skip there, please. Verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city. I'd like to read that as saying, and when he was come near, he beheld his love and wept over it. I believe those were real tears. I believe that he cried with a broken heart because Israel would not come. Israel, if thou hadst known, even now, at least in thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. I believe Jesus, when we go and we read about Revelation 7 and the pouring out of the breaking of the seals and the sounding of the trumpets, he warned them, church. He loved them so much. There was a warning there. He come after them. I want to go back to Hosea, and I want to read chapter 1, and then I want to read the last chapter, because you have to see the love of Christ, how we love Jerusalem. You have to see that, church, because all you see in tribulation is the pouring out. All you see is the wrath, and that's not what he's about. He's about love. He's about searching and going after his people, but they wouldn't come. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, my love, my hand was extended to thee, but you would not come, oh, Jerusalem. Let's go to Hosea chapter 1. I'd like to read the whole chapter to you, but for the sake of time, we're going to read one first verse and we're going to read the last verse. All that in between, we can just Well, you can go back and read it if you don't know what happened, but listen to this. Now, this is the heart of Jesus. And this was, he would never want to pour out his wrath upon the world because they hated him. Even when he made vineyards and when he set the garden, when the parables say when he made a vineyard and he set the laborers in it and he left to come back, they wanted to kill his representative, Jesus. They wanted to kill him. They didn't even want to share. All they wanted was to make a money market out of it. But let's look at Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, In the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, I'm going to butcher this, church, but I got to get through this because I want you to show you something. And Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. In the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Oh, church, let's look at this, because he loved Israel. It was a great kingdom. When David reigned, it was such a great kingdom, north and south. They had no war on their borders. They had all peace. Even when Solomon ruled, David's son, they had peace. They had prosperity. They had everything they wanted. They had a great king, a godly king. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Loruamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horse, nor by horses, and nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Loruamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo Ammi, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. It shall come to pass that in that place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. You see the compassion there? You see the love there? Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. I want you to go to the end of the Hosea, because I want you to see Jesus' compassion and love. Chapter 14. O Israel, return. Return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto them, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to work with of our hands. Ye are our gods, for in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from them. She left Hosea 3-4 times. When Hosea made a house for her and a family, and she left and she went whoredom. She went into the city and lay with other guys. And she not only did it once, she did it 3 times. And she left him for good and went about, and they actually took her and sold her. They put her on an auction block. Well, you know what Jesus Christ, the Lord, said for him, for Hosea to do? He said, go and find her and buy her back. Go and find her and buy her back. Then he says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as a lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as an olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under the shadow shall return. They shall revive as corn and grow as wine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard them and observed them. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? Who shall understand these things? Prudent? And he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. For the transgressors shall fall therein. I want to give you a glimpse of his love right there. We are in Revelation chapter 7 and 6. The opening of the seals. This is the day of the Lord. The church has left. And Jesus looks to Jerusalem before that and cries, if they would only known. The prophetic signs, all which Jesus fulfilled, they would not have missed their visitation. I want to go to one more scripture, please. We'll go to Luke 13. Luke 13. Luke 13, 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doeth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not, ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, and verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's all go to Revelation 7, please. Last time I teach, we talk about Revelation chapter 6, and we discuss the seals. And Revelation chapter 7 is like an insert there, and the opening of the seventh seal doesn't happen to chapter 8. But Pastor taught on chapter 7, but I want to try to pull a couple more things out of there, if you don't mind. So we'll just take the time tonight. We may not make chapter 8, but that's okay. Not no hurry. So let's look at chapter 7. In chapter 7, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in the foreheads. I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed 144,000, all tribes of the children of Israel, of the tribe of Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Nephilim, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, the tribe of Issachar were sealed, 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. I rushed through that because there are 12,000 for each tribe. There's 12 tribes, so that is 144. It said, after these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice of the four angels to whom it was given to hurt. the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in our foreheads," in their foreheads. I want you to look at something right here, just a little bit, and I think it's we're going to go to Zechariah 6 is where I want to go. I want you to see something here. Even in Zechariah, let's go there and read. Zechariah saw this. I don't know the time of Zechariah. Zephaniah, Haggai, and Zechariah. Zechariah 6. Okay, just hold your place there a minute, because I want to pick out Daniel 7 as well. Zechariah 6. "And I've turned and lift up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out between two mountains. And the mountains were mountains of brass or judgment. In the first chariot were red horses, and in the second chariot were black horses. And in the third chariot were white horses, and in the fourth chariot gristled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?' And the angel answered and said unto me, 'These are the four spirits of heaven, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are there and go forth into the north country, the white go after them, and the gristle go forth in the south country. And the bay went forth and sought to go, that they might walk to and fro through the earth.' And he says, 'Get you hence, walk to and fro through the earth.' So they walked to and fro to the earth. Then he cried upon me, and spake unto me, saying, 'Behold, these that go towards the north country have quieted my spirit in the north country.'" So you see, we've mentioned that these are the spirits. The angel answered and said to him, "These are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth standing before the Lord and all the earth." These spirits are actually holding the winds back. One angel says, "Don't touch the earth yet," because they have to seal 144,000. Is that making sense? Okay. I wanted to pull something out of Daniel. If you please go to Daniel 7. I want you to see that, because Zechariah actually seen the branch. This goes on to talk about the branch, which is Jesus Christ, grow up in his place. So I want you to see that those four winds and the four spirits actually were seen thousands of years ago. I don't know the timeline. Okay, I wanted to go to Daniel 7:2. Daniel speaks and said, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And the four great beasts," Daniel sees beasts here, "came up from the sea, diverse one from the other. And the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. And it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear, and it was raised up itself on one side, and had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' And this I beheld, to another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, we're going to go back there later when I go through Revelations. We'll make reference to this. What I want to pull out of there just tonight, Daniel spoke and saw in a vision by night, behold, four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. And then he saw four great beasts. So it talks about those winds again. So when we go back to Revelation 7, we're going to talk about, let's read that again. It said, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth and four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not either, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in the foreheads. The angels are standing on four corners of the earth, holding four winds. They will be the first four of the seven trumpet angels. Because after the seals is going to be the seven trumpets. They will be given power to hurt the earth and the sea and the trees. The expression four corners of the earth means four directions, north, south, east, and west. The winds here refer to the judgments of God. When a trumpet angel holds the judgments of God, which the trumpet angel holds, and which will be poured out after the seventh vial was opened. In Elijah's day, God reserved 7,000 men who would not worship Baal. Likewise, God will have 144,000 Jews who will not bow to the Antichrist, but will accept Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. From each of the 12 tribes of Judah will come 12,000. This group of Jews will be saved after the rapture. The Jews will be saved at the time of the rapture of all the dead and living saints in Christ. They will be raptured too, but these will still be here during the seals and the trumpets, proving they were not saved when the rapture took place because they were during the tribulation. I want to go to Revelation 14, I believe it is. I want to pull some more out about that, about the 144,000. Revelation 14. Man, it's quiet in here. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Woo. It's a good one. You're not going to be here, church. It's okay. Hallelujah. Chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. That's the seal, church, our Father's name, whether it's the great I Am or Jehovah. I don't know. I'm just saying that that's the seal they're going to have. So they're well-defined. So when the Antichrist or any of his cohorts come, they're going to say and see that child belongs to God. Don't touch him because they'll be doing evangelist work. They'll be bringing them in. That's the great harvest. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, and his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and as a voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song. Tim? No man could learn that song. But the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These, verse 4, are they which were not defiled with women. For they are virgins. And they which follow the Lamb wherever he goeth, these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So we know now that the 144,000 are going to be virgins, right? And we know that they're going to go about and win souls for Christ. Teaching Jesus is the Messiah. And those Jews accepting the Messiah. Now my mind goes back right away to Hosea. This, even during the tribulation, look at the love God has for his people. Can you see that? That love is immeasurable. Even during the tribulation, him pouring out his wrath, he's saving his children. He's sending 144,000 out of each, 12 of each tribe, 12,000, he's sending 144,000 Jews to save them. How great is that? That's compassion and love, Nick. That's compassion and love. He's sending them. His heart is, he wishes that all men be saved. Let's go back to, then let me read a couple more things here first. I wanted to pull out, therefore it must be that the 144,000 are sealed. In this teaching it says about the middle of the first 3.5 years of tribulation and between the sixth seal and the first trumpet. The seal will be literal, visible mark on them. There are several reasons for this concept. There is nothing to contrary given in the passage, but the locusts of the abyss will be able to see it. The seal of the Abrahamic covenant was literal. The sign of the Passover was literal. The mark of the beast will be literal. It could not be salvation or some type of spiritual mark because it expressly stated that they will be sealed in their foreheads. In Revelation 14:1, we read that the seal or the mark, God's name was written on their forehead. At this time, the Antichrist will be making his big play for the world. Now listen to this because I found this, it's interesting. It said that he will be making his big play for the world domination, and he will be angered, no doubt, by the sealing of the servants of God in their forehead. He will try to destroy the 144,000. But there is also a possibility that his seeing the seal on their heads, the seal of the name of God, is a reason that he would begin to seal his servants in their right hands and foreheads. He mocks God. Everything, he just mocks God. It isn't expressed explicitly in Scripture, but the Antichrist will want to put a mark on the beast as identification of his people. The seal of the living God will protect these Jews from trumpet plagues until their rapture in the middle of the tribulation period. Isn't that interesting? Amen. Talk about the great tribulation saints. And after this I beheld, and lo, great multitude, which no man could number, all nations, all kindreds. Revelation 7:9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power might be unto our God forever and ever. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, which are these which are arrayed in white robes? What are these? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall their sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto the living fountains of water. God shall wipe away all the tears. The 144,000 then were the first fruits of God to him out of the tribulation. They're virgins, and they're going about witnessing. Now, they were persecuted, church. If you're going to do any work of God, you're going to be persecuted. Amen? That's just the way it goes. You're going to be persecuted. The 144,000 were jailed as well. They spent time in jail. Also, martyrdom. They were martyred for him. And they're going to sing a song no one else could ever sing. And no guile and no fault was found with them before the throne of God. That's his wrath in chapter 6. And I'm not going to go into chapter 8. I just want to admonish you somewhat that our time on earth is limited. I believe no man knows the time or season, and you've heard this again and again. But I don't believe we got much time as a church here on earth, because I believe that God put us here for a purpose, and we have to do the work of the ministry. So if that time window is short, then should not we be ready to go and do the work that he has us to go? Because you know what? Not only is hell real, but when these judgments fall, these people are going to be in pain. This is not going to be a good time at all. And then it says after that, after the seventh seal, and then it says that when it goes on to the trumpets, it's going to be worse. It's going to be worse. So then, should not we have compassion for our families to be saved or our friends? Because I don't believe we go to our family and friends with an urgency that we should have. Now, I'm really appealing to you that we have to have not a church with four walls. We have to have a church that expands and reaches out. And I know for a fact that those that I reach out to, they are so thankful. They have a heart of gratitude. And for those that don't, you just dust off your feet. At least you tried. You did. The blood will not be upon your hands. And this is really what God has for us to do. Because it comes to mind, 2 Timothy, I think it's 4 and chapter 4, verse 5. It says that, it says that you should be as watchmen. Watching. Because if you would have known the time and seasons, if you know that the sky's red, that it's going to be a nice day, but do you know the season of the Lord? Because you would know that in your spirit. So that's the time and season, because they're here. So that we should be going forth and doing the work. And not be quiet or discontented or laid back. We should be on fire. On fire. Amen. Hallelujah. First amen I got. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Nick. Why aren't I finishing? I'm not finishing because there are people out there that need the Lord. They are brokenhearted. They are lost. And not only am I married, I have tenants that are lost. They are lost. They don't have a clue. And when they talk about the X generation, it is. Christ is X'd out of their lives. They don't know. And it's very important. And I know, Danny, they probably come in your shop like that. And you've got to say something to them. You've got to plant some seed. I think we should have a sense of urgency like never before. Because when God starts to pour out his wrath, it's going to be poured out. There's no safety, because even as said, even the rich are going to run to their caves and to their bunkers. But it's not going to help. Because men will be dying just to fear alone. This earthquake, the great earthquake, is not even being measured on the Richter scale. You can't even measure it. It said that islands will be moved. Islands will literally, mountains will quake. If you see that, I think I would be frightened. But I'm admonishing you because the scripture, 2 Timothy 4:5, says that we should be watchmen and watch, because this is your ministry of evangelism. You have a ministry. It's not just one person. You have a ministry. We have a ministry. And I know we all get busy, church. Hallelujah. I, for one, full plate. But we got to take time out, because this is our ministry. When we leave here, our ministry starts when we leave here. Amen. That's our ministry. And we can be examples in Christ, because really, if we're walking in the supernatural and we're prayed up, we're going to draw people. Anybody ever come up to you and say there's something different about you? So you're going to draw people. But we can't be complacent and weary and worn down and tired and irritable because the world has beat us up. We got to come out from that and be separate people. That's what that means. Don't get into the world system. I mean, we know what they do and what they mean and what they want, but we don't get involved in that. We get involved in the work of the ministry. Work of the ministry, that's what you're called to do. And whether you know it or not, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead indwells and quickens your mortal body. Now, you might have dull hearing of that, but when you take that and meditate that, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, come up here. Come up hither, John. Apostle John, come up hither. That's the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead had brought him up into the heavens, the third heaven. The same Spirit that quickens your mortal body will bring you up out of the discontent. It will bring you out of those moodiness, because that's the Spirit of the living God. Amen? I wanted to admonish you somewhat. Hope you enjoyed this. We didn't get into chapter 8. I did that on purpose, but I wanted you to see Christ's love for Jerusalem. Because if he can shed a tear, think of this, church, come on. This is the Creator, the living God, come into the flesh, that come to Jerusalem and cried. Where is our compassion? Because we're not crying for the lost. We're not going and getting them. He cried, church. His heart was broken because he's seen the devastation and he's seen the abomination. We didn't go to another scripture because I wanted to read that too, that was talking about, he was showing Nehemiah, I think he was showing Zechariah, that in the temple of God, he said, look through the wall, look through the hole. He's seen 25 priests standing outside the temple, get this, and had their backs towards the temple, praying to the east. He said, this is abomination. This is worse than anything. So you see that Israel turned their backs, but we haven't. I believe right here in this church, there's enough here to just to explode these communities just by your smile, just by your saying that Jesus is alive. You've got to do that. You cannot be quiet. You cannot be silent. Silence is consent for the enemy. We have to speak up when we have an opportunity to speak up. And even if you say anything, Jesus is Lord or amen or anything to get conversation started, you have to do that. Now, I'm admonishing you. I'm not saying you haven't. I'm not saying that you're not. I'm only saying that we have to pick it up. It's time to raise the bar. Amen? Amen. Father, I ask a blessing upon you.